Hi, I'm Lorraine Reff.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. On today's show, we're all told to slather on the sunscreen, but how effective is it in preventing skin cancer? One of the world's leading experts on melanoma has the definitive answer.
But first, prescription narcotics to treat pain may bring relief, but they can also bring death. According to USA Today, over 38,000 people nationwide died from an overdose of prescription painkillers in 2010. Deaths are on the rise because narcotic pain relief prescriptions are on the rise. Over a three-year period, New York State saw the number of narcotic painkiller prescriptions increase by 35%. Oxycodone prescriptions increased an alarming 82%. Abuse of prescription narcotic painkillers has led New York State to implement a new law, iStop, which stands for Internet System for Tracking Overprescribing.
Intended to serve as a national model for other states to follow, the iStop law goes into effect in New York State on August 27th. Ending prescription narcotic pain relief abuse is the goal of the new legislation, but some doctors and patients, including those involved in cancer treatment, have some concerns. Joining us to explain the new iStop law is the bill's lead sponsor, New York State Assemblyman Michael Cusick, a Democrat who represents the 63rd Assembly District on Staten Island. A member of the New York State Assembly since January 2003. He has sponsored numerous pieces of legislation, many centered around issues of public health and public policy. Welcome to Take Care, Assemblyman Cusick. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
You championed the legislation that became the iStop law. The law is a series of provisions to overhaul the way prescription drugs are distributed and tracked in New York State. Would you tell us why this issue is so important to you and what you hope it achieves?
The old adage that all politics is local is pertinent in this case. This is a statewide and a national issue that is hitting all of us in one way or another. But locally, in my district here on Staten Island, I consider this the epicenter of this epidemic. We have numbers that are staggering of people overdosing from prescription drugs, and the theft of prescription drugs, the misuse, is rampant here on Staten Island. So that really pushed me about 2.5 to 3 years ago to put in legislation of my own to try to fix this as best as possible. Now, we know there is no magic legislation, one piece of legislation that's going to solve the whole problem. So we looked at what could be fixed on a state level. And we looked back then at the current system that New York State Health Department had in tracking prescription drugs and who was prescribing and who was going in, because a lot of the incidences here on Staten Island and in New York City involve doctor shopping. So we wanted to focus on that. So we put legislation in that would make our system here real time, so that a pharmacist could put the prescription in and it would be on the computer immediately, and that doctors can check it as patients come in so that they don't fall victim to doctor shopping. So that's how we started with our individual bill. Myself and Senator Lanzo, who we work in a bipartisan manner on many pieces of legislation, we put this forward. And then about a year later, we got contacted by the Attorney General, who wanted to join us, and he had his bill that he called iStop, and he asked us to combine the two and put it through our respected houses. And we were able to get it done. It was a lot of work, but we were able to get it done. We worked with the governor's office and the Attorney General's office, and we were able to get a system in that will provide real-time reporting when it comes to prescription drugs.
Okay, so you are saying then that the new iStop legislation creates this real-time database.
Sure.
What are the other components of the law?
Besides the on-time database, hydrocodone, which is largely abused, will become a Schedule II drug rather than a Schedule III, which means no refills unless a patient goes back to their doctor. And this will be an inconvenience for those patients who truly need and rely on the pain medication. But we feel that this is a very highly abused drug illegally, so we wanted to up it to a Schedule II. Also, what will go into effect not immediately on August 27th are e-prescribe. Another problem here in New York is the theft sometimes of the prescription pads. So what we have done is We have put in the bill that by the end of 2014, there will be an e-prescribe, and we will do away with the prescription pads, and everything will be done on the computer.
Now, you mentioned that there will not be any refills unless the patient sees the doctor. Are we talking 30-day supply is typical for a Schedule
II?
Right,
right. Well, in that case, what I was referencing was just the hydrocodone.
Okay.
You know, hydrocodone is one specific drug that was a Schedule III and will now be a Schedule II. Any Schedule II drug, if you need a refill, rather than it be automatic refill, you have to go back to the doctor, and the doctor has to physically refill it for you.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And we're talking to New York State Assemblyman Michael Cusack about the iStop law for New York State. When you're putting together a bill like this, what kind of input do you typically get from the medical community and also from patients and their families that might have had firsthand experience with prescription drug abuse?
Right. I've been in the legislature since 2003, and I've my career has been in government. And I have learned that we are representatives by the true sense, being elected officials. And the only way you can come close to legislation that would be the intent that you want, you need the input from the people that will be most directly affected. No legislation is perfect. So when we introduced the original bills, probably in 2010, we had a roundtable of doctors, of pain management folks, of families who have been affected, who have had people who have overdosed. We've had counseling people, and we had pharmacists. It was amazing. We really just sat down and we went over it. And there are instances where, you know, doctors may have a different opinion than the pharmacist had, or that the family member of someone who died of an overdose was more passionate than someone who had to do this every day. So we were able to get all of that in our roundtable and bring it to the legislation. We know that there are going to be unintended circumstances, most likely, but we know that we can also fix it because we have the input of all aspects of this disease and this epidemic. We also, in the legislation, have a working group that has to be formed that will, you know, as the legislation moves on and becomes law, and the law is in place, and then the monitoring system is in place, this working group will fix any glitches that occur. And there's proper representation from the medical community, from the legal community, from the law enforcement community, and from the counseling community. So we understand that there are going to be different sides to approach this, and we're willing and we're able and we're open to work with all folks involved.
Part of this bill is that, as you mentioned, you want to prevent doctor shopping from happening.
I mean,
patients who are addicted will go where they can to get the prescription drug. But that leads to a larger question. The patient had to be prescribed the drug in the first place. So does the bill include a provision to educate healthcare providers on alternatives to prescribing pain-relieving narcotics? What are those alternatives?
Unfortunately, you do have in any profession, and I'm speaking from someone who's in a profession that's taking a lot of hits these days, in any profession you have bad apples who abuse what they're supposed to do. But doctors do have continuing education on this. We do provide in here some education alternatives for doctors. But the New York State Health Department had a monitoring system in up and running that many people didn't even know because it was on a volunteer basis. But now doctors are mandated to consult the monitoring system before they prescribe. So within 24 hours of them meeting with their patient that is going to be prescribed something, the doctors have to go on to the monitoring system and they have to consult the monitoring system and make sure that whatever prescription they're going to prescribe to that patient is in line with the information they have on the system.
The iStop law makes exemptions for patients in hospice, individuals who generally have 6 months or less to live, but not for cancer patients who may be in great pain but not yet in hospice. A little bit later in the show, we'll be talking to the president of the Upstate New York Society of Medical Oncology and Hematology, a group of doctors who treat cancer patients and routinely use narcotics for pain management in their patients. We understand they applied for an exemption to the law, but were denied that exemption. Can you explain that?
Well, you know, I don't know if they were denied. You know, I have learned in the legislature that any legislation or any law or any bill is a work in progress. And now that we have iStop, we'll be up and running on August 27th. Like I said, the working group will address that issue, you know, possible amendments for exemptions when it comes to cancer patients, but also exemptions that we may have overlooked in our original drafting and negotiating of this bill. That is why we put in this working group, and this working group has members of the medical community on it, and that will definitely be brought up. This is, again, we want to make sure that the intention of this bill is met and that we cut down or minimize any of the unintended circumstances. So we are open to work with all doctors, whatever specialty or area they are in, to make this a better bill. Any bill can be better, and that's why we have built in a working group into this one.
A medical practice under this new law will have to set up an account with New York State, correct me if I'm wrong, that, and as you said, when they consult with a patient, they're going to have to go through this account to basically register that that prescription is being given to the patient. There's always paperwork involved. Are you concerned, or have you heard from the medical community that there are some people, like let's say family practitioners, internists, who say, you know what, it's too much for me to do. I'm going to kick it over to a pain management practice. And then what happens is the patient loses that individual care with a physician who's known them for a period of time, and then they go to a new doctor.
Right.
Are you afraid that this is going to be lost in the cracks?
You know, I'm concerned. In our roundtables, we have been told by some doctors that this would be an issue in their individual offices. But I think overall, we're all on the same page that we want the result, because unfortunately, a lot of doctors, a lot of folks in the medical community who are doing fantastic work and serving our communities are getting the blame for this, are getting the blame for the rampant prescribing of these drugs. So we want to work together to solve this. And so, yes, there have been doctors on my local level here and some doctors as I traveled throughout the state. I've done roundtables in Long Island where it's a huge problem, and in upstate western New York where this is also a huge problem. But again, I think that's back to the point that why we put a working group in this bill, because as the bill progresses and as the law progresses after August 27th, we can troubleshoot. We can figure out what the issues are, and hopefully we can mitigate any problems that occur. But we are looking to have this as a team effort and work with folks. By doing this legislation, we don't want to put anybody out of business. We don't want to make people's lives harder. But I think we're all on the same page that we have to tighten up the way we prescribe these drugs, because unfortunately, in a lot of cases, innocent people who are doing great work are being blamed.
New York State Assemblyman Michael Cusick is the lead sponsor of the new iStop legislation. He's a Democrat and represents the 63rd District on Staten Island. Thank you so much for your time, Assemblyman Cusick.
Thank you, Lorraine. Thank you, Linda.
For more information on the iStop law and Assemblyman Michael Cusick, visit the Take Care webpage at wrvo.org/takecare. Podcasts of our show are available on iTunes and the WRVO website.
Coming up, why some medical professionals are concerned that the new iStop law may compromise care and pain management for cancer patients. You're listening to Take Care on WRVO Public Media.